Hello, everybody, and welcome to my very first episode of my podcast, Bunny Language, featuring your favorite host ever, me, Bunny. So today is January 2nd, which I'm just going to consider it January 1st because yesterday I spent mostly in bed. I mean, who can blame me? You know, I had a good time New Year's Eve with my bestie slash roomie. We partied it up, and actually I was a very responsible young adult who did eat and drink a liquid IV, not sponsored, before I went to bed. So yeah, Sunday, it was an experience. I actually just slept for most of it. So today I started off my Monday, my New Year's, really well with waking up at 12 p.m. You know, I have been prioritizing sleep this break. For those of you who don't know, I am on winter break right now from school. And I have been getting up at like 11 a.m. at the earliest. And I really go to bed at like a decent time, but I just love sleeping. I'm a sleepy girl. I can sleep in until all hours of the afternoon. And that's kind of one thing that I want to work on this year, is getting on a good sleep schedule. Something that I struggle with is sleep apnea, actually. And wow, this first episode is getting off to a grand old start. Yeah, so I snore like really, really bad. And I'm assuming I inherited it from like my mom or something, because she also snores really bad. Like to the point where like my friends have told me, especially like my roommates, they're like, we literally think sometimes that like you're not breathing, and it's like concerning. So yeah, that's one thing. That's my main goal, you know, going into 2023, is to stop my sleep apnea affecting my sleep schedule. I think that this podcast will not only help me get a lot of my thoughts out in spoken form, but also let you guys get to know me a little bit more, which I feel like is something that I wanted to do for a really long time. I present myself as a body positive advocate, self-acceptance and self-love advocate. And of course, you know, that is me. That's who I am. It's what I promote. But also, like, I have a lot of other things in my life and as for who I am. For one, I love writing. And that's actually my number one goal for 2023, is to write more. I'm not necessarily the best writer ever. I have a lot to work on, and I'm sure if an English major read anything that I have ever written on my own that I haven't edited, they would be like, wow, you have a lot to work on. Are you sure you want to try writing a book, especially in your mental condition? You know, I love writing, but I'm not necessarily good with grammar and punctuation. My roommate slash best friend is also actually a English major, and I have her proofread a lot of my essays, and 90% of the time she edits a lot of it. I'm really good at like putting things out there and like getting my thoughts onto paper. I'm really not good at proofreading my own stuff though, but anyways, I would love to write more. I feel like journaling and getting my thoughts down, even if it's in my notes app, which, by the way, if I die, please do not open my notes app and publish anything that I have ever written, because I swear to God, you're going to find some things that you really don't want to see. Some of them being, you know, the list of every person I've slept with. Like, mom, you don't need to know that. I have a lot of things in my notes app, ranging from grocery lists to every single person I've kissed in my entire life to a really sad, depressive note that I wrote when I was deep down in the dumps. and my notes app really carries me through it all. I think it's actually taking up about 2 gigabytes of my storage. And every single time I see that, I'm like, you know what? Well, I can't delete anything off there, because in a few years, I'm going to want to know what I was thinking in 2022. And, you know, because of that, I thought this would be a great segue into everything that I wrote down in my notes app in 2022. Some of these things will be very embarrassing, and some I just won't even put out there because I literally cannot, for my own safety and well-being, and for yours as well. Jumping right into it, this is the first thing that I wrote last year, and I'm just going to say, I know I said I love writing and I love poetry and I love writing poetry. This is not a tribute to how well I write poetry. I'm actually probably not going to add anything that I wrote last year, poetry-wise, to this podcast, because it'll probably just make me cringe. It's kind of like when actors watch themselves in movies and it makes them cringe. I don't want to read my poetry out loud. I would prefer it to be, like, you know, in a nice little written, aesthetically pleasing book. But this is just funny to me because I assumed that I was trying to write something important and I left it at this. Okay. Time can heal. It creates miracles in the matter of seconds, only to be seen years down the road. I really thought I was doing something with that. And I don't really know what exactly. It has a nice little message. Time does heal. Time heals all wounds, as cheesy as that is. Okay. So this is the second thing that I wrote. This was actually 5 days later. I can't. I think that if the world was ending, I would probably tried. Okay. Again, I'm not good at grammar or punctuation or spelling, I guess. If the world was ending, I would probably try to find Timothy Chalamet and kidnap him and hold him hostage and then make him fall in love with me due to Stockholm syndrome. And then we would have cute babies together, which the babies would definitely end up dying because the world is ending, but it doesn't matter because I get to have sex with Timothy Chalamet. What the fuck? Okay, clearly I was on a rampage. What time was this written at? Okay, this was at 4:19 p.m. So I don't know. I don't know. Okay. This one's good. This was also on January 9th. Okay, I was on one. This was at 4:24 p.m. So I took a few minutes to kind of, like, hold myself. I don't know. Imagine sitting down a small boy from the 16th century and having him watch an episode of The Hype House. Okay. I'm funny. If you guys don't know this, I can be kind of funny. I actually kind of want to add that to my Hinge profile. That sounds like it would invite some really hot guys and girls to me. Yeah, more poetry in my notes app that I really don't want to share because it's going to make me cringe. This is my donut order. I went through a really hardcore donut phase, and, like, trigger warning, this was, like, kind of when I was recovering. Well, I was already in, like, the real strong, like, recovery stage of my eating disorder, but in the beginning of my recovery, I was even, like, more hardcore on eating donuts, and I definitely, like, had a binge eating issue during this time. Maybe not when this exact note was written, but I definitely had an issue. And now, like, I really can't eat donuts like that anymore because of this. I would sit down and I would eat probably, if you remember when I was really obsessed with Krispy Kreme donuts, I was severely suffering with some binge eating issues because I could sit there and I could eat an entire half dozen of Krispy Kreme donuts all in one sitting. And that isn't good. I even sitting here now, like I can sit down and I can eat. Okay. A girl loves to eat, but I just physically don't think I can eat half a dozen of Krispy Kreme donuts like I could when I was going through that period of my life. Okay. I have a note from February 13th at 5:40 p.m. Light blue, cute. I assume this is me trying to tell one of my friends that somebody in a light blue something is cute. Or this was one of my friends grabbing my phone and typing in that they thought somebody in light blue was cute. I don't know. Okay, here's a good one. This was at February 20th at 3:30 p.m. Apparently, all of my transforming thoughts are in the afternoon at some time. I like boys and I like men. Okay. Okay. That sounds really bad, Emily. I like boys and I like men. I'm going to assume that I mean the same thing. Okay, I don't like boys. I like men. I like men who are less successful than me because I like to feel like, oh, this is like something that I should tell a therapist. Less successful than me because I like to feel like I'm in control and that I have more power. I don't know why I feel like this way. It may be because I have daddy issues, but I like my men less successful than me. Ouch. So I guess this means if I've ever liked you, you're less successful than me. Sorry about it, babes. Just kidding. I think this was written when I was going through a phase where I like had really bad taste in men. Don't get me wrong. I still have a really bad taste in men. But like there was an era of time. It was like right after my first breakup. Not my first. Right after like my really bad breakup. Like I just had awful taste in men, like actually like really 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 bad. Okay, this one is I think written see they come in flows, all right, because this one was written directly after, like 2 minutes later. I was like, you know what, this is a good idea, I'm just gonna continue writing more. I feel like apps like Venmo and Cash App are dangerous in the sense that it feels like a video game to me. Whenever I use money coming from my Venmo account, it doesn't feel like I am using real money. It feels like I am living my little virtual worlds and participating in little virtual games that give me cool clothes to decorate my avatar. You know what? I think I remember writing this right after like I found that I had like $200 in my Venmo that I just had forgotten about. And instead of being a responsible adult and sending that money to my bank account, I went to some event and spent a lot of money on clothes. But it felt okay in the moment because the money that I was using was on my Venmo account. And so technically that felt like I wasn't spending real money. If you agree, if this makes sense to you, thank you. I know I sound insane, but welcome to my world, babes. Welcome. This was, oh God, this was 3 days later at 12 in the morning. I guess I was trying to manifest something. Everything is going to be worked out perfectly. It did. This was at March 5th, 2:38 a.m. I peed a little. Okay. I have a lot of notes like that. Just like really random gibberish. Wow. Okay. I hit the really depressive jackpot. Oh, and they just keep coming. Okay. Basically, like last year in March, I was really going through it because I found out that somebody who I dated started seeing somebody else. And that shit hurted really, really bad. So I did what I do best and I wrote a shit ton about it in my notes, which actually a lot of what I had written ended up being some of the best things that I had written in a really long time, which I was really proud of. So with that, connecting that to my 2023 goals, I want to hopefully sometime this year gather everything that I have written in the past 6 years or so and maybe write some more so that way I can fill the pages a little bit better and publish a poetry book. That's something that I've wanted to do for a very long time, and I feel like I am starting to get to the point where I've written enough to actually put it all in a book. And I'm really proud about myself because of that. Don't get me wrong, a lot of what I write is sad. And I know a lot of people think that I'm this very positive, happy-go-lucky person who is always confident and who is, you know, never lets things get to them. But a lot of the time when I do write, it is coming from a place of hurt and it is coming from a place of sadness, because that is when I feel the most vulnerable, and that's just when my thoughts come to me better when I write. I know a lot of people say, like, the best artists are tortured, or, you know, whatever, the best artists are sad, and sometimes that's kind of true. I feel like when I am my most creative, when I am my most artistic, it is when I am in a really bad place in my life. I think a lot of the time when I do write, it's kind of like therapy to me in the way that I can get my thoughts out in a way that is aesthetically pleasing. And so it makes me feel better, which is a very weird way to put it, but it does.
So moving past all of my little sad girl poems, I found a Target grocery list. I have so many grocery lists in my notes app that I just never delete. And it was things I need at Target today: Red Bull, lashes, disposable camera, pimple patches, and tights. And I don't know how I know this, but I know that this was in April. I don't remember what I was doing in April of last year, but I just know I was going somewhere. Like, I was going out. I was going out of town, because that combination just makes sense to me. And then I have another store list that's very incomplete, that is just cat litter and floor cleaner. A lot of my grocery lists are very incomplete. It's like I have an idea of what I need to get at the store, and I'll write a few things down, and like, I have the rest in my noggin, like, I'll remember it. And I don't. And the thing is, I never even open up my grocery list when I'm at the store. I literally go to the store and I'm like, okay, I wrote all of these things down, I have to remember what I need to get. Not even thinking the fact that I wrote half of it down in my notes, and then I'm supposed to remember the other half in my brain, and then I don't even look at my notes. I don't know. If this is a really good look inside of how my brain works and how I think about the things that I do, and I hope it all makes sense to you guys, because I am all over the place a lot. You can ask my roommates that, you can ask my friends that. It's, you know, it's what you get with me. I'm an amazing package, but I can rarely ever finish my thoughts, and I forget things, and I am a little all over the place. But that's why everyone loves me, you know? Me and my friends developed this game. I don't exactly remember what it's called, but basically we sit in a circle and we make up a name, and with that name, or we make up a word, and each person in the circle has to give a definition, like an Urban Dictionary definition of what they think that word means, and then the person who creates the word gives the person with the best definition a point, and whoever gets the most points at like 10 rounds or something is the one who wins the game. It's actually a really fun game, and me and my friends have made some really interesting words. By the way, if you're under the age of like 18, maybe like tune out of this episode, or like maybe this podcast. I don't know. I haven't really decided. I'm definitely not a family-friendly person. I love every single one of my supporters. And I know some of you guys are underage, and some of you are in your 20s like me, and some of you are way older than me, and that's awesome, but I do tend to have a mouth of a sailor, and I do tend to be pretty crass. So I thought with this podcast, if I'm gonna make it like a true to myself type of podcast, I would probably make it just that, crass and sailor-ish, you know? So I'm gonna read off these words. Maybe you go tune out for a little bit and come back in like 30 seconds or not, or get your parents' permission. I don't know. Just know that I'm a role model in a lot of ways, but not in some. So here are some of the words that me and my friends created with this game that I had previously talked about. Okay. Malmo. I don't remember if I'm the one who created this word or if somebody else was. We were just acting really fun and silly, so please bear with me. Malmo, giving head to a girl and then sucking out a queef. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna just stop there. That's enough of that for now. So, okay, so by this time I had moved into my apartment in Orange County. I think I was trying to meal prep. I do this every other month or so, like trying to get myself organized and actually like want to cook and get better at cooking. And so I like planned out my week of what I wanted to eat, and it looks pretty good. I just wrote down all of the dinners that I wanted to make. Monday was going to be a grilled chicken asparagus pesto pasta. I can tell you that right now. I never made that. Tuesday, shrimp tacos. Never made that. Wednesday, roasted red pepper rigatoni with salad. I actually did end up making that, and it was good, but I did kind of fuck it up because I didn't fully go by the recipe, which is another one of my issues that I run into a lot. Like, I will get kind of in a rush or just like not feel like I need to follow the exact recipe, and then I end up fucking up the recipe, or I end up fucking up the dish, but it's fine. And then Thursday I had salmon rice. If you guys remember the salmon rice era, you're a real one. I ate that probably for dinner 4 times a week. I was never tired of it, and I thought that I would never be tired of it. I think I ate it that often for at least like 5 months. Like, I was really on a salmon rice brigade, and I don't know what happened. I just fell off. It just started not tasting good to me anymore. I don't know. I'm still a fish girl. I love me some fish. I still buy a lot of salmon. When I go to the grocery store, I primarily get frozen salmon and chicken breast. That's pretty much the only meat that I really eat. Oh, sometimes ham. If you guys don't know this about me, I was vegetarian for like 5 years, and so it kind of turned me off to pork and beef. I pretty much always like craved chicken and fish even when I was vegetarian, but I never really got back to eating beef or pork. I still eat bacon, and I still eat ham sometimes, so maybe that's a lie, but I don't crave it really as much anymore, and I certainly don't crave beef at all. I actually will choose a veggie burger over eating an actual burger, and I don't know why, but it scares me. Beef scares me a little bit. I don't know if it's like I feel bad still, like I still have some guilt hanging on to eating beef. I don't know if it's because cows are cute, but you know, pigs are cute too. I don't know what I'm all hung up about beef, but yeah, that's my mindset when it comes to that. I will literally, this is a very odd thing about me, okay? And every single time I go to Carl's Jr., I'm pretty sure the person taking my order is like, what the fuck is wrong with this girl? I will order a Western bacon cheeseburger, and I'll ask them to do a Beyond patty but leave the bacon on. And then they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, oh, I just, I don't eat beef. And they're like, oh, okay. But I know in actuality, they're like, what the, what? It's good. I like the combination of it both. Oh, I had like a really good content idea. And this was literally in July of last year. And I was writing down all of the movies that I was watching. And every single time that like an old movie from the early 2000s made a super fatphobic comment, I would write down the timestamp. And I was going to go back, screen record all of these movies that I was watching at that exact timestamp, and then like make a little montage of it all and be like, this is what we grew up with. And I just never ended up finishing it. That's another one of my problems, is I have a lot of ideas and I get really excited about them, and then I just literally never finish any of them. Hence this podcast, hence my YouTube channel, hence a lot of my TikTok drafts, hence literally anything that I've ever done. It's always like kind of half-assed, and that's something that I'm gonna try to work on this year. Also getting an ADHD diagnosis, because let's be real, I know that a lot of my symptoms kind of emulate ADHD symptoms. I'm not saying that I have ADHD, I don't know, but I do know that I have really struggled with a lot of normal human things my entire life, like finishing my sentences and forgetting things and literally never being able to stay on task. So I'm hoping that this year I can figure out whatever that is, whether it be ADHD or not.
You know, I had like a kind of a direction of where I wanted this episode to go, and it kind of has been all over the place. But, you know, for the first episode, I feel like it's going to be kind of a good one, because I have so many random things in my notes app from last year that I feel like kind of sums up the year, you know? A lot of depressive poems, which clearly defines my mental health situation of 2022. But I do have a Lana album ranking completely unfinished, because what have we learned this podcast? I have an issue with finishing tasks, and sometimes the tasks are grocery lists, and sometimes the task is a Lana Del Rey album ranking list. So I actually finished the Born to Die. If you don't care about Lana Del Rey, this is probably going to be a little boring part of the episode for you. I'm sorry, but I promise it won't take very long. So for Born to Die, I put Off to the Races as number one. This is actually subject to change, because every single time I listen to Born to Die, I have a new opinion. So number two, Born to Die. Three, Diet Mountain Dew. Four, Million Dollar Man. Five, This Is What Makes Us Girls. Six, Blue Jeans. Seven, Lolita. Eight, Carmen. Nine, Radio. 10, Dark Paradise. 11, National Anthem. 12, Without You. 13, Lucky Ones. 14, Video Games. 15, Summertime Sadness. Summertime Sadness is just really played out, so I had to throw that at the last ranking. This is a really good summary of how I feel about Born to Die. I am an ultra violence girly, and I also am a honeymoon girly. Those are probably my favorite album of hers. I am a very big Lana Del Rey stan, if those of you don't already know that about me. I love her, and I would probably cut off an arm or leg just so I could meet her. That's very exaggerated. That's not true. I just really want to tell her that I wish she was my second mom. Like, I just want her to hold me. Like, I want a really big hug from her, and I want to cry in her arms. And whatever it may take to do that, I would do that. So this is basically just me explaining my parasocial relationship with Lana Del Rey. Anyways, I have a lot of like really random, like not fun notes in my notes app too. Okay, so this is October 4th at 9:33 p.m. I think once it reaches past maybe 3 p.m., all of my thoughts just come to me, especially when I'm drunk at night. That usually is a catalyst for a lot of random notes. This one is good, though. How do you meet How do you meet people organically? Like, do you just walk up to someone you think is cute and say hi? Literally, I have social anxiety. The thought of being perceived in public is hard enough for me as it is. This is still so true because I want to meet somebody the organic way. Okay, English. I want to meet somebody the organic, old-fashioned way. And it really does seem like it's pretty impossible. Especially when, you know, you have social anxiety or you're like scared to talk to people, because there's a lot of hot people where I live, like a ridiculous amount of hot people. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming because I used to be able to just like go anywhere and dress exactly how I look like when I first wake up in the morning. But now it's kind of like, okay, I want to be perceived as hot and cool too, even though I am hot and cool and that's not the most important part of yourself as a human being. But you know, like when you're out in public and you're dressed nice and you look cute and you just like feel so much better about yourself, I have been inspired to do that a lot more while living over here, because it seems like anytime I go somewhere there's a hot person. And part of me is like, well, what if they come up to me and like we make a conversation and it goes somewhere and they ask me out? And then what, Emily? Like, let's be real. I have commitment issues up the ass. So like, what if the man or woman of my dreams comes up to me and is like, hey, I think you're really hot and cool and sexy. I want to take you out on a date. I would probably go, okay, here's my number. And then I would freak out about it for about a week. We would go on a date and then I would kind of feel nothing. I don't know. This isn't therapy, but basically, if you wanted a good summary of what my dating life is like, it's that. Also, I go for unemotionally unavailable people 9 out of 10 times. But it's what I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Okay, this is what we're leaving behind in 2022. Emotionally unavailable people. Okay? And being emotionally unavailable ourselves. But furthermore, this note just reigns true even more because I have this crush on a guy at the gym that I go to. And I was kind of like, I feel like I'm never going to see him again. Like, bitch, we go to the same gym. You're probably going to see him again. It's a small gym. Like, there's not a lot of... I mean, there's a decent amount of people there. But, like, I pretty much see the same people every single day. And I saw him in, like, one of the weight rooms. And I was like, oh, my God, he's so cute. And I remember I was, like, doing squats. And, like, he walked in. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, you're not supposed to be in here. I am sweaty. And I am working out. Can you go somewhere else? But I will say he like didn't give, like we were both doing our own thing, so it doesn't really matter. But when I left, my roommate, she was like, why didn't you like go up to him or like say hi? Or like, you know, it was probably like the perfect time to do so. Like we were all in a room together and it was like kind of like a quiet situation. Like there wasn't other people in the room. Like it was literally just us three. I could have gone up to him and been like, hey, like how's it going? But like really, like at the gym, like he's literally sitting there doing yoga, like doing a cat cow. Like am I supposed to go up to him and be like, I really like your form? I don't know. Like do you go up to people and say hi, I think you're cute? Like that's so awkward to me. Like, that just feels so wrong to me. Maybe it's because I want somebody else to come up to me, but also at the same time, don't come up to me while I'm working out. You know what I mean? Life is really complicated, but I saw him again. I saw him at the gym on New Year's Eve, and I literally walked right past him, And I was like, fuck. Here's another chance that I'm going to let go by. Yeah, I didn't talk to him. Are you fucking crazy? No, I'm not going to talk to him while he is doing his little back workout. Like, I'm not a creep. I'm not a weirdo. I mean, I am, but, like, I'm not. I'm thinking that, like, if 3 or 4 or 10 more times go by and I see him, then maybe I'll go up to him. But in my brain, it's always like, okay, he definitely has a girlfriend. Because I cannot stress this enough, you guys. I put myself out there on the limb so often, more than you would think, okay, for a bitch with social anxiety and fear of rejection. I put myself out there. I'm like, here's my number on a cute little napkin. And here's my Instagram. Nothing. I don't know if guys are just like scared when women hit on them or like when women try to initiate things first. But I literally every single time I have hit on a guy. That sounds like really misogynistic, even though it's not. I sound like a dude when I say that. Every single time that I have been interested first and I have showed interest first, it's like, oh, no, I don't want that. Like, okay, fine, fuck me then, you know? But I, because of that, have developed this, like, fear, like, okay, what if they all have girlfriends and I just look like a fucking idiot? But in 2023, I am trying to not let that affect me. I want to just be able to put myself out there, and if I get rejected, fuck it, because we are living our lives and we're not letting anybody stop us from living our lives and doing our thing. And if we get rejected, okay, so what? I am still so cool and so funny and so hot and sexy, you know? And I don't need anybody else's validation. And I'm glad we came to that decision. I'm glad that we're ending on that note. That was a roller coaster of a journey. I wrote this the same day. This is just, I actually think this is just a collection of random thoughts that were started on this day, and then I slowly added to them. Love Island, but everyone is super gay and we all kiss. I am so down for that. I feel like there is no dating show that is really just all inclusive. They're all kind of just the same thing, but repackaged in different fonts with different hot people. And I use the term hot people like very loosely, because we all know that they just genuinely only care about what these people's bodies look like. Because 9 out of 10 times, yeah, the girls are all hot and cool and sexy and fun. The guys, literally, I have never been more attracted to a group of men ever than most of the guys that are being brought onto these dating shows. Like, it's truly just like, these are the hottest singles you have ever seen in your life. No, this is just a dude with really bad tattoos who looks like he only works out his arms most days of the week. And I don't find that attractive. And most of the time, they're not even funny either. So, like, a real 0 out of 10, you know? I would love to see just, like, a dating show that is more inclusive body shape-wise, but also, like, sexuality-wise. Because you're telling me right now that you're getting 10 singles on Love Island? Maybe I can't say Love Island. Maybe I'm gonna get sued. You're telling me that there's 10 singles on your dating show and none of them want to kiss each other, like the same sex? You're fucking lying. You're lying. Maybe they have to sign something that's like, I will not be bisexual. I will not kiss boy. I don't know. I find it really weird. Like, wouldn't that be so much better if everyone could just kiss each other? Like, why does it have to be like boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl? Like, shut up. That's so stupid. Why do we keep fish for pets? That is so weird to me. That's so weird. I've had a fish for a pet. it like didn't end well. Like, I feel like I'm just not a fish person, and that's okay. That's okay if you're a fish person. I've actually seen like a lot of like betta fish setups that are like hella cool and almost made me feel like I wanted just like a random pond outside on my balcony for a fish. But then at the same time, like I do not need that. This is one of my menace thoughts. Changing everyone's ringtone to a high-pitched dog whistle. That only seems funny if it's like a group of like a bunch of men at a bar that I somehow would have access to their phone. I feel like that'd be a good prank. Cherries are the most sexual fruit. I literally don't care about bananas. Yes. Okay. And let me elaborate, because I feel like bananas are only sexy in the fact that, like, if you're eating a banana, you know, like, but like cherries are hot because they're cherries and they remind you of women, and women are hot and cool. MMA fighting, but they fight like how you do in a dream. I just want to see what I look like on television, like on a projector. I just want to see what I look like when I'm fighting in my dream, because I know it's so bad, but I just want to see like my form. So I want to see MMA fighters do exactly what I do in a dream when I fight, if that makes sense. This one is crazy. What if doing meth is just like the upside down in Stranger Things? That, okay. I like men, but only when I think of them as... This whole collection of thoughts is very, very much bisexual of me. Very much giving gay. I like men, but only when I think of them as Ken dolls, because penises are really scary and look like alien appendages. Yeah, I still stand by that. Like, I feel like I'm equally attracted to men and women, even though I like have more experience with men. But it's just weird. It's weird. I'm sure someone out there agrees with me. Some of you are going to comment and be like, girl, you're literally just gay. Like, you need to give it up. Why do men literally gross me out so bad? Why am I so picky? Literally no one else I know is as picky as me. Am I weird? Is there something wrong with me? I wrote this at 5:30 p.m. What is going through my head? I know that these are all sober thoughts too, because of how early in the night it is. Grocery lists after grocery lists. I have this note that I wrote at 2:51 p.m. I love myself. I think I am very pretty. Still stand by that. I love myself. She's cool. She's awesome. The rest of the notes are kind of just like random little blurbs that aren't really like worth noting. But that was my year in 2022 through my notes app. So I hope you guys all enjoyed that little segment. I want to move on to like my actual goals this year and what I actually want to leave behind. So let's move on to that. Moving on to what I actually want to get out of 2023. I have a list of all of my goals. This is kind of like unfinished. I have more things that I would like to accomplish this year, but this is kind of just a good overview. It's very broad. It's more just kind of statements rather than actual goals, but I feel like it's a good start, you know? The first thing I have written down is write more. Let's get on this memoir, bitch. I talked about this earlier. I want to actually start writing a lot more, and I got inspired because I listened to Emily Ratajkowski's audiobook of My Body, and I'm actually going to go out and buy the physical copy because that's how much I adored this book. If I can recommend any book to anyone right now, it would be to read that book, because it was actually amazing. It made me cry. It made me laugh. And the funny thing is I really never gave Emily Ratajkowski a second thought, because then this is me completely unpackaging my internalized misogyny. I just thought that she was just this hot girl. And, you know, like, what does she know about anything? And I think I have a lot of internalized misogyny to kind of figure out, because still sometimes, like, I'll see a girl who is very conventionally attractive and a part of me hates her a little bit. And I don't know, you know, where it comes from. Obviously, it's from a place of jealousy. It's the internalized misogyny. It's from seeking male validation, etc. And I had never really seen Emily other than what she kind of posted on Instagram and the Snapchat articles I would see written about her and her name in the news and, you know, random articles I would see on random news pages. And I was just like, oh, she's just a model, you know? So when I actually read her book, I realized how much of a fucking idiot I am. I resent a lot of these conventionally attractive women, and I am figuring out, you know, where that comes from. And I feel very stupid saying a lot of this out loud, but I'm sure somebody out there can relate. But I would say that this is probably one of the best books that I have read in a very, very long time. So if you guys are looking for a new read, I highly suggest that. But because I listened to this audiobook, it inspired me to write more myself. There's a section in her book where she talks about how, like, somebody went up to her and asked her, you know, like, what are you working on? Like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm writing a book. And I kind of just looked at her maybe in a way that I would look at her. And they're just like, oh, like, you're writing a book? And she responded like, oh, yeah, I know, like, me writing a book. But why not? You know, like, why limit yourself to one thing? Why limit anybody to being one thing? And it inspired me that somebody who's very passionate about writing, somebody who really does love reading when I can, why can't I also write a book about my experiences and my advice and what I go through? And yeah, so that is one of my big goals of 2023, is to get my thoughts on paper and work on that memoir, bitch. The second one is start a podcast. And look what I'm doing right now. I'm recording the podcast. I still got to edit it and do all that, but, you know, I'm following through. Third on the list is read, read, read. I feel like I'm slowly entering my reading era. Oh my God. I never really liked reading for a long time. Well, I've always enjoyed reading, but it was mostly just like I would never be able to finish books because I would get bored really fast. And I realized that I'm just not a fiction girl. I like self-help books and I like nonfiction a lot better. And so I have been reading more of that, and I've actually finished 2 books already. So I'm very proud of myself. The fourth goal on the list is feel healthy and take care of you. So I feel like a lot of people, when they write down their 2023 goal, it's like, oh, I need to eat healthy. I need to start eating better. But I want to feel healthy. However that means in a balanced way, I want to feel better, because this past like 6 months, I haven't really been fueling my body the best way that I possibly can. And I just mean that in general, not that I've been eating a lot of unhealthy food or, you know, whatever society may deem as unhealthy or good or bad. I just want to fuel my body in a way that makes me feel good. And that is one of my goals. The next goal is to go to therapy again. And to be completely transparent with you all, I haven't gone to therapy since moving. So I haven't really had a therapy session in about 5 months. And if we're being honest, it has been very hard on me. I've struggled a lot with my own health insurance and trying to move that over to a different county and figure all that out. It's a bunch of mumbo jumbo bullshit, but I get off track and I don't prioritize that. And then I'm sitting in my room crying at 2 a.m. and wondering why I feel the way that I do when I haven't gone to therapy in like 5 months. So I am really trying to focus on getting back on the grind as far as therapy goes and helping my mental health journey, because that is something that is very, very important to me. I want to also work on prioritizing myself. I often tend to prioritize other people over myself in my work life, in my social life, in my family life, in all aspects of my life. I tend to prioritize other people, and it can bite me in the ass. And, you know, even I think with people that I don't even know really well, I will act a certain way or move a certain way in a way that benefits them to make them comfortable without even thinking of myself. And that's something that I really want to break away from this year. So this is kind of one of my big girl goals. I would love to move into a house. I'm currently living in an apartment, which I don't necessarily have a problem with, but the parking situation is ass. The laundry situation is ass. And let's be real, our people who own the apartment are not very nice either. So I would love to move into a house. I would love to do so with my roommates. And if that is accomplished when our lease is up this year, I would also like to get a dog. That is another goal on my list. It's kind of unrealistic because, let's be real, I have two cats and a rabbit, but I want a dog so bad. I don't know why. It's like I feel like I need to fill a void or something, but I really want a dog, specifically a golden retriever. And you're like, wait, why? Just like, why a golden retriever? Like, you don't need to get an exact breed of dog. I had a golden retriever. And she was my everything. I loved her. She was my best friend, and she passed away in 2020. I feel like I have never had a connection with any other dog other than her. And I kind of want to cry, but I'm not going to. And I miss that. And I miss that feeling, as stupid as that sounds. Another one of my goals is to reignite my spiritual side. I plan on talking about this a little bit more in another episode, but I would love to start practicing my spirituality a lot more, have it be a lot more frequent in my life as it was like a few years ago, because I know that it makes me feel good. And I know that it's something that is needed in my life, and it's something that gives me purpose and gives me hope. I also want to focus on less comparison and more focus on my journey. I feel like I am a good role model to a lot of people, and I try to let everyone know, like, hey, like, don't compare yourself, because comparison is a thief of joy. That's a very common saying. It's a very well-known saying, and it's something that rings true in a lot of ways. But sometimes that's easier said than done, because social media can be a comparison fucking playground. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. That's like the weirdest way to explain it. But I find myself comparing my life in so many other ways than just like physicalities. Like, I compare myself as far as like my mental health goes. Like, oh wow, this creator is like in the same niche as me, but they just seem to be so much happier than me, and they just seem to be doing so much better than me in their career, and yada, yada, yada. These people are getting married. These people are moving into a house, and I'm still in school, and I'm living in an apartment. Like, just a bunch of bullshit. Like, everybody has a different journey, and that's completely okay. And that's kind of the theme that I want to focus on this year. Like, I want to focus on my own journey. I don't care what other people are doing in their lives. I want to focus on whatever that means for me. And I'm okay with going at a slow pace. I'm okay with not doing it the same way that other people are doing it. And I'm okay with the fact that maybe my brain works differently than other people's, because that's just who I am, and that's okay. And it's something that I am working on accepting. And it's also something that I'm working on dealing with and maybe fixing in some ways. Let the past be the past. Move on. I want to really focus on forgiving and forgetting this year, because I'm somebody who holds on to grudges, whether I'd like to think that I don't. I do. And whether that be in like past relationships or family or friends or whatever, I just want to move on. I don't care what my ex-significant other was doing with their lives. I don't care who's dating who. I don't care about, you know, what old friendships are doing. I want to move on. And I want to move on from my trauma, even though I can accept that it has brought me to where I am today. I want to be able to leave a lot of things behind and not just like pack them up in little boxes and like shove them in the back of my brain like I normally do to cope with things. I want to let things go. And I'm working on doing that, even in like the physical forms of my life. Like, I am getting rid of a lot of clothes because I hold on to clothes as if they are people. I have a really bad issue, not necessarily with hoarding, but like I feel like I like to hold on to clothes because they carry memories for me. I know that sounds stupid, but it's in a weird way true, if that makes sense. But yeah, I just want to work on letting go and letting go of people who no longer serve me. Okay, another big girl goal is making smart financial decisions. I'm somebody who orders a lot of DoorDash. I'm somebody who impulse buys. I'm somebody who goes to Goodwill maybe a little bit too often to buy things that I don't necessarily need. And I want to work on not doing that. I want to work on being smart with how I spend my money. And I want to work on actually like understanding what I need to do to save my money and to put it towards something that will help me in the future. Whatever that, I literally am talking and like nonsense. I don't even know what I mean by that. But like, I just feel like I'm getting to the age, even though I'm still really young, like where people are really starting to get serious about with how they budget and how they're thinking about their future as far as like getting a house and like what they're doing for a job. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to go to school and I'm going to do my little content creator job. And it's kind of scary. Like, I'm happy with where I'm at. Don't get me wrong, but I want to be able to make smart financial decisions that will help me in the long run. And so I'm going to try to do that this year. I want to do more things that I love doing. I feel like last year I really didn't do any of that and I would always just put it off. But now I really want to focus on making myself happy and do things that I love, whether that be creating art, going and doing events, or going to the beach, being out in nature by myself, even if that's what I need to do, and say yes to fun trips and prioritize my happiness. I think that's a very big thing that I would like to work on this year. I want to tell everybody in my life that I love them more. I feel like I have an issue with telling people that I appreciate them and that I love them, because sometimes I cringe myself out a little bit. And I really want to be able to tell the people that I love that I care about them and not let my brain do the weird thing of like, oh, I need to emotionally detach myself from everybody. No, it's okay to tell people that you love them. You're allowed to have emotions. You're allowed to feel things. It's what makes us human. I want to tell everyone that if I love them, that I love them. And it doesn't matter if they don't love me back, even though I know that they do. I just want to be able to share my love. And that means a lot to me. Okay, so the last two before we get done with this podcast is stop the self-sabotaging and let's get over this imposter syndrome, bitch. Had to add the bitch in there because, like, seriously, like, come on, bitch. Like, get over your fucking imposter syndrome. Like, be proud of what you've accomplished. Be proud of what you're doing. And allow yourself to say that you're proud of yourself. I feel like this past year, I have really self-sabotaged in a majority of ways where I will go weeks without posting anything or like really being active on my socials because I'm like, nobody cares about me. Nobody cares what I do. My work doesn't make a difference in this world, blah, blah, blah. Like, if we're being real, like, yes, there's a lot of people who are in the same niche as me, who are posting self-love content, who are posting body positive, body acceptance content. But that doesn't mean that mine makes any less of a difference because we all have a very, very important message. And that is at its core the most important thing. And if I'm able to touch one person with what I do, and I know that I have because you guys have come up to me in person to tell me how much I've been able to help you with accepting your bodies, accepting yourselves. And I'm gonna cry if we're being honest. I kind of am getting emotional. You know, like for a really long time, I never thought that I would get to the point where I'm at now. And I think that's what's really scary, is that I got to a point with accepting myself and loving myself, and sometimes it doesn't feel real. And even when people come up to me and they tell me, like, you have literally made such a big difference in my life, I don't even know what to say. And I get so nervous sometimes because I'm like, I feel like I'm not the person that they think I am, but I am. And I don't think you guys realize how much it matters to me and how much your messages and your DMs and your comments, and when I get to hug you guys and say thank you, you are helping me in more ways than you even realize. So thank you, and I appreciate you, and I did not expect to cry on the first episode of this podcast, but I just want to say that I'm really excited that we are on this journey together, and I'm excited for where this is going to go, and I love you guys. Feel free to message me. I would love to hear what you guys think about the first episode, and I also would love feedback, of course, if you guys would like to hear more of one topic rather than the other. Of course, I would love to hear what you guys think. And also, if you guys have any questions, any topics, any advice you want on, let me know. Hit me up. My socials are bunny.bispo on Instagram, bunnybispo on YouTube, and I'm not bunny on TikTok. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the first episode of Bunny Language. I appreciate you. I love you, and treat yourself like somebody you love today.